Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I am your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been...
It sounded like you had to put a lot of thought into that.
I mean, whatever. It's life.
Yeah.
It's life post-2020. No, I'm... So the AMG Mini-Palooza started, and they showed off the Civil War event. So hopefully I'm going to get to play some Crisis Protocol tomorrow and do some Civil War stuff.
Nice.
Have you looked at it?
I haven't.
It's cool. It's similar to what they did before with the, like, Infinity Watch thingy. So you pick a side, and you play, and you get silly bonuses that are silly. And then if your side... And then you report it online, and if your side gets more points or whatever, there's two different variants we can earn that'll be in, like, an organized play kit. We can either get a Iron Man no matter the cost, where he's there's, like, a bunch of shit on him and there's water running over him and he's, like, pushing himself up, which is a classic Spider-Man cover that they've redone with Iron Man, which is dope. Or you get Captain America standing on a building looking heroic for inspiring monologue.
Okay, nice.
So, I know you want that cap. You want to join the fascists, so you want that Iron Man card, right?
Whoa.
You want complete governmental control to make everybody register.
I was more thinking, like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have nuclear bombs everywhere, or...
Nuclear bombs.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. I guess.
No, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm good, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit agitated because I have a friend who's a dear friend, and we just don't have, like, our views on politics don't align in many ways. And so, like, I've repeatedly asked him, like, hey, I just don't want to have those discussions with you. And it got brought up again today, and it did not go well as expected. And so, just kind of sucks. But the good news, well, okay, so the bad news is that where I live is the number one COVID hotspot in the nation right now.
You're number one. Woo!
Yeah, that's not great.
Sorry.
the good news is that we have, like, within sight our first vaccination, and so just need to, you know, hunker down a little bit longer and get through it.
Yeah.
So
I got my first vaccination on Sunday.
Congrats. Did you grow a third leg or anything?
No. I did get like a sore arm the next day, like, longer than the flu shot will give me a sore arm in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
That one took, like, almost 18 hours, and then I was like, ow.
Yeah, my parents are in their 80s, and they're, you know, complete with their vaccination. Mm-hmm. But the second shot didn't do anything to my mom, but it kind of kicked my dad's ass for a day or two.
Yeah, so. It's... My brother is extremely out of shape, and he had a very serious reaction where he told me he, like, collapsed, and he said, I don't think I fainted, but I did fall over and, like, crawl into bed. And I was like,
wow.
Oh, shit. Okay, damn. But he's fine other than that. He said it was just, it hit him really hard.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm... one of the things that's exciting for me is that, like, I'm looking at, you know, around end of May something, start of May. Sorry, end of April, start of May. Like, getting a bunch more in-person games soon game nights going again at Gameopolis, etc. So, I am the excites with that.
Yeah, man, that's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're talking about Kingpin today.
I am so excited.
Why are you excited, Greg?
Kingpin is so cool. So, did you, as a young boy, I watched the Spider-Man cartoon, and Kingpin in his, like, purple suit is so iconic to me, and I'm really, like, and for Kingpin was always, like, the, like, I'm gonna hire other guys to go be evil, and then, you know, there's always the, like, you're just a big fat guy, and then someone fights him, and he's like, I'll kill you! No, I don't know. I've always liked Kingpin from that, like, period.
Well, it'll be an interesting discussion then about both this arc and about Kingpin himself. I've said, I think, before on this podcast multiple times that I don't really find Kingpin very interesting, but
because
that,
you're racist, yeah.
No,
you're racist against non-superhero. You're racist against people without superpowers.
Well,
racist.
I don't think that's a race.
White people and just, like, you'll take anything except racism. You're so afraid of the word. Okay, Jay, fine. I get it. Let's just move on. Let's stop talking politics.
But I do think that Kingpin is very interesting in-game. So
okay.
That'll be a fun discussion.
Yes, I agree. I'm very excited. I think this is going to be a really good, really good couple episodes for us. So let's dive into it.
Let's.
So we read the plarf, my brain, I'm sorry.
What, 7 comics?
Yeah, yeah. It was Daredevil issues 267. Oh dear, hold on, I'm sorry. So it was the original run of Daredevil, and basically it was when Frank Miller picked it up. And so it's, if you look it up online, it's Daredevil from 1967. I'm sorry, so I'm switching to this tablet, and, like, it doesn't operate exactly the same way as the iPhone one does.
I can tell you. So it's Daredevil 1964, issue 227.
227 to 233.
Correct.
And this is generally called Daredevil Born Again, like, if you buy it in a trade paperback. But it is widely considered one of the better, like, arcs in the Frank Miller run. And there have been some discussions about, like, in the Chain Attack Discord, I think, actually, we were talking about, like, adult comics or mature comics. Maybe it was our Discord. And Frank Miller was one of the people that really popularized it. He came in with, like, this really dark Daredevil, and they kind of went with darker art styles sometimes, and the storylines were more mature. And that means lots more murder, drugs, alcohol, like, the dark side of New York City.
There's one of the main plot points is that there is someone who was the secretary for Matt Murdock and Foggy, and she decides she's going to go to California to make her way as an actress.
Yes.
She fails, and gets into drugs.
And then she's in Europe or Mexico. I wasn't sure. She was out of the country.
Central America.
Yeah. She's in Central America doing porn and, like, and dirty shows and basically just completely addicted to drugs. Yeah. And so the story starts with she sells the secret identity for drug money.
Yeah, for another hit of smack. And then she's eventually is like, I have to get to New York and, you know, meet up.
Well, this is like 7 months later that
sure,
she's like,
I understand. No, I'm just saying this to give, like, a reference of, like, how dark some of the themes go.
It's dark, so, yeah. Like,
in order for her to get back to New York, she meets up with a guy and trades sex with him for transportation to New York.
Yep.
And that's one of the important aspects of this storyline, is what went on with her.
And this is a character who is established. This is Karen Page, who is in she's in the Daredevil TV show as the, like, one of the main characters. She was a, like, main co-star in Daredevil for, I think, 2 or 3 years. And it comes up later, but, like, she was going to marry Matt Murdock before their, like, relationship fell apart. It is a big deal. It's very dark. It's a very, like, fucked up turn. But yeah, like, Frank Miller was one of the ones who popularized, like, darker tones in popular comics. So much so that one pair of people had a really bad reaction about what Frank Miller was doing with Daredevil. They made a comic to parody the dark tone that Daredevil made and to make fun of Frank Miller's stories and style. And do you know what that comic was, Jay?
I don't. What was it?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a commentary on how dark the Daredevil comic had gotten, which I love and is hilarious to know that that's where they started. Yeah, it was a, like, one-shot comic that was making fun of Daredevil. So in that comic, the radioactive material that blinds Daredevil, he was holding his turtles, and it goes onto the turtles as well, and he drops them into the sewers, and that's the origin of the Ninja Turtles and also Daredevil. So that's, like, the joke that Ninja Turtles used. But anyways, Frank, like, it changed comics. It really did. It made more mature storytelling more mainstream. It opened the door to, like, a lot of other things, you know. And this is around the same era as Watchmen coming out, right, and, like, sure. a lot of other, like, people were like, oh, we can start telling more mature stories and, like, having that content. Cool. Let's do it. Like, let's make these comics. And,
We're definitely going to have a discussion about Frank Miller and his writing style once we get through the synopsis.
Yeah. Yes, we're going to have
to. Because I have some notes.
Yeah, no, it's... And part of your... We'll talk about that later. So I'm going to do a quick summary as quick as I can.
Okay.
So we already talked about Karen Page sold it, the identity. Yep. And what one thing I like is that this first issue seems to take place over, like, a full 12 months. Where she sells the identity, like, Kingpin gets the identity, like, 7 months later or so, because I think there's, like, 5 or 6 weeks, and then there's 6 months later, and then Kingpin gets it, like, then, and then Kingpin takes weeks and weeks to research and plan his defeat of Daredevil. So basically you have this story where Matt Murdock wakes up, and his entire life, like, every aspect of his life is going wrong. So his mortgage wasn't paid, even though he checks and he wrote the checks. Like, his bills haven't been paid, even though, again, he's like, I paid all my bills, what's going on? He has been summoned to, like, a hearing, he's being framed by a cop for bribing a witness. The IRS has frozen all of his money. And so, like, his whole life is falling. Oh, and then his girlfriend breaks up with him, and I don't think that's related to the Kingpin because of her later, but at first I was like, how did the Kingpin get his girlfriend to dump him? And my favorite part about that is that she dumps him by putting a cassette tape in the mail and sending
Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And so he puts it in his tape player, and she dumps him, and I was like, that's the, text by dumping of, like,
yes.
The 80s. So anyways, Matt Murdock's life is falling apart, and he's just like, what the hell is going on? I must have some really bad luck, but why did this guy frame me? And so he's like, investigating, and through most of the issue, he either thinks, this is really weird, what's going on, or he thinks the cop, someone's trying to get the cop to, like, go after him, and he kind of has this thing where he's like, oh, this is really terrible, and then when he's walking home to, like, his house that has been foreclosed on him and he's about to lose, it blows up while he's, like, right outside of it. And he's like, oh, this is something a gangster would do. The Kingpin is behind everything.
Now I know.
Now I realize. And also, his ex was, like, robbed, and somebody, like, messed up her apartment, and she gets help from Foggy. I don't remember if this is in the first issue or not, but his girlfriend basically gets help from his partner, Foggy, and then she basically starts dating him for the rest of the comic. So his girlfriend has moved on to Foggy. And I think the only reason they did this is to show how Foggy and Glory are doing really well and they're very happy, to juxtapose it against how bad Matt Murdock is doing. Also, it allows Karen Page to, like, do her Karen Page Matt Murdock story. Oh, yes. And also, through this whole first issue, Karen Page is trading sex for transport to come to New York City.
Yes.
We get a lot of, like, scenes of Kingpin, like, sitting... I did forget one thing. Kingpin is like, I shouldn't do the killing blow. Like, I'm in a perfect position. I should, like, just sit back and let Matt Murdock's life fall apart. And I'm assuming he planted the bomb after that. He's like, fuck it. I'm gonna blow up his house. That'll be funny. And that was, like, the Kingpin fucked up and played his hand too far. Because I guess the idea is nothing connected it to Kingpin in Matt Murdock's mind until his house blew up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, Green Goblin could have blown up his house, right? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody could have. That's not a Daredevil villain. But somebody could have blown up his house, like someone else. But anyways, so Matt Murdock goes crazy and is like, he has $10 and he stays in a hotel room and he's like talking to himself and he's mumbling and he's hallucinating and he's thinking like everyone's against him, even Foggy, even though Foggy defended him and kept him out of jail for the framing thing, but Matt did get disbarred. That was important. And it's a little funny because, like, Kingpin basically wins at this point because Matt Murdock goes to fight the Kingpin directly and his people are like, yes, Mr. Fisk is waiting for you. And they, like, just take Matt Murdock to the Kingpin where the Kingpin basically just beats him unconscious. And then they try to kill him by covering him in bourbon and sinking him in a taxi into the river. But he gets out, of course. At this point, he is rescued. Or no, he escapes. He's living homeless. He gets stabbed by Turk, who is a recurring character as, like, a low-level bad guy. He's also in all the Netflix shows, where he's, like, a gun runner, basically, in the Netflix shows, which is kind of neat. So Turk stabs him, and he gets medical assistance at a church, which just so happens to be where Sister Maggie is, and he connects a memory from his childhood with Sister Maggie, and he realizes that Sister Maggie has some connection to him, and then he realizes as he's healed, he's like, she smells a lot like me, and that I remember her visiting me right after my accident in my childhood. And why does she care so much about me? And he's like, are you my mom? And her heartbeat reveals to him that she is his mother, but she's not going to admit it. So that's a weird, like, little plot point that Frank Miller wrote in, that is pretty big, but then he does nothing with it because it's building for future stories. But Matt Murdock is missing at this point. Like, Kingpin knows his corpse wasn't found, so Kingpin is manipulating things and trying to figure it out, and it basically he tries to hire a psychopath to wear a Daredevil costume and, like, go kill Foggy and Glory and Karen Page so that he can, like, either draw Matt Murdock out or just eliminate loose ends. I don't remember if they specify that they need to kill somebody. Like, I know they're trying to kill Karen Page because they want to just murder everybody that might have known about where Kingpin got the secret from. But honestly, right, like, Karen Page doesn't matter in this. Like, she has no idea who has the final, like, identity. So, continuing on, Matt Murdock beats up the fake Daredevil and reunites with Karen Page, and she she like it, she doesn't even it isn't even in the comic that she admits what she's done. It's just like she tells him, and then the next episode, the next issue is like Matt Murdock doesn't care. He holds her, he accepts her, and he like he wants, you know, he's holding on to Karen Page, almost as like a, you know, a person that is his true identity, right? So he's trying to get things back on track or whatever. He now has a Daredevil costume from the bad guy, and he's like he's cooking at a diner, and he walks past people who know Matt Murdock, and they don't recognize him, and so he's lost a lot of weight. He looks really terrible, and these people don't recognize him even after he shaves his beard that he's grown. And so it's kind of a like funny thing. But at the same time, you're like, you know, I can see it. Like, it happens, right? Like, I didn't find it that unbelievable. It was just funny that, like, nobody recognizes him. So he defeats the psychopath wearing the Daredevil costume. And at this point, Kingpin wants to call out Daredevil and defeat him. And so they summon Nuke, who is a crazy Captain America-style bad guy who works for the U.S. government. And they basically show that, like, they've never sent Nuke inside American borders. And they show him just, like, murdering a village of bad guys like a fucking Rambo movie. He's got a very magic gun that counts how many people he kills. So, that's cool.
That's cool.
It's a very 90s character, right? It's very, like, it's edgelord Vietnam style, like, fetishization. In some ways.
Yeah.
But he's presented as a terrible character. Like, he's awful.
Right.
So he...
He almost has a meltdown because he was going to be served a bear on an airplane that might have been...
Been foreign, yeah.
A foreign bear.
Yeah, but it was brewed in Milwaukee, don't worry.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's fine. Yeah. And, like, and so they basically drop him in Hell's Kitchen, and he just starts murdering everybody. Like, it's like, he killed an old lady and a baby, and, like, he's murdering, and it's just like, he's, like, blowing people up. And Daredevil basically has to, like, run four blocks to start fighting him. And they're having the fight, and he's like, every time he shoots the gun, right, it just goes through buildings nearby and is killing people. So Daredevil has to get really close to fight him. And he takes the guy's gun, and he, like, blows up the helicopter that brought him in, because the helicopter was Daredevil kills the helicopter pilot, and, like, and it's kind of cool. The Avengers show up to, like, stop to finish the fight and stop the guy after Daredevil pretty much did everything. And you know, Daredevil, like, runs away, because the Avengers have it. And the end of the story is kind of, like, all of these pieces are falling against Kingpin. So, like, one of the first things is a nurse starts telling people, and then some cops are some crooked cops are basically stopped from killing Ben Urich and Glory while they're trying to interview a witness. And Ben Urich keeps, like, finding people to corroborate that the Kingpin is in charge of this, and he's publishing all of this in the newspaper. And I completely skipped over Ben Urich, who's a reporter for the Daily Bugle. He's been in every issue, but he's like one of the backstories that's of like, how is the Kingpin going to be undone here? And so it basically ends with Captain America and Daredevil catching Nuke. And they're trying to stop him, but he dies, probably because he took a bottle of methamphetamines, and, like, him and Captain America rampaged a bit. And so Daredevil brings the dead body of Nuke to the Daily Bugle, and there's several bad guys who say, hey, Kingpin paid us to do this. And the end of the story is basically, like, it is proven that Kingpin has done the bad things, and it's the last page is Matt Murdock and Karen Page walking down the street and being happy.
Ta-da!
Yeah. And off the air, I told Jay, what a lame ending, because there's a part of me that really wanted, like, Daredevil to whoop Kingpin's ass. But honestly, it's appropriate that Kingpin is undone through his own, like, evil doing. He is incredibly strong. Like, there's... usually it takes a suit like Spider-Man to beat him up. Like, he is much stronger than Daredevil, so that's something. But so yeah, it's a very like over the top dark comic that sort of has a like New York sucks feel through a lot of the story. Like, there's a part where like Glory and Foggy get mugged on Christmas while they're carrying presents, and like Foggy smashes the guy's face in with a bowling ball and he runs away, and they're like, nobody tried to help us in this crowded place, what's wrong with y'all? And you're just like, yeah, New York sucks, I get it. it's got that like what Taxi Cab feel where it's just like, oh, this is all terrible, how are you supposed to stay sane in all of this suck? But Jay, what did you think? This is...
So, I mean, I did, in general, find the story interesting. And I did like that. I want to give a few examples of just, like, honestly, I like the story, but in a lot of places, I just didn't like the writing. Mm-hmm. And so, I'll give you a few examples. So... This first one, this is like at the very end, very start of the comics. And, Matt Murdock is kind of has a day off, is lounging, his life hasn't gone to hell yet. And so he's just kind of thinking to himself, etc. And he says, Daredevil. The name rolls across the bruise that is his mind. Comforting, isn't it? But at least it's real. And
yeah.
Just what, stuff like what? That.
It's a word salad that delivers zero calories.
Yeah, right? And then, so here's another one. Matt Murdock is staying at the Dive Hotel. And his, you know, the hotel manager comes like, hey, you need to pay me. And Matt Murdock kind of beats him up. And a gang boss goes and, spy or whatever, goes and reports back to Kingpin. And so this is what he says. It is indeed behavior of the least normal sort that I observe while perusing Matt Murdock, as per your advisement, Kingpin.
Okay, that character talked really weird. Like, everything he said was strange. I don't think that's a good example, because that's a character with a stupid speech pattern, and he's only on, like, one page. Because
okay.
He's a private eye. I don't know what's up with that character. I just noticed that as well. Like, it's really strange.
Maybe this is the same character. I don't know. But here's another example of something that that bugged me. So let's say that I was a really good banker, and so I was going to get paid $500,000 a year because I'm a really good banker. I could say, you know, my pay is commensurate to my skills. And basically it just means that, actually I'll read you the...
Pay me what you owe me.
I'll read you the definition. Okay, so commensurate. Corresponding in size or degree in proportion. So their example was salary will be commensurate with experience. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they are in the car. They've just picked up the Daredevil costume. For the crazy guy is holding it, and he's gonna go play the false, Daredevil. And the other guy talking says, Mr. Potter did a commensurate job on that costume. And, like, it just felt like there were so many times in there that, like, not only did, like you said, like, this, it's like a salad of empty words that have no calories, like, sometimes, it felt like they were using big words and then, like, not even really using them well or right.
Yeah.
So,
It's awkward.
I didn't like the writing. I did like the story.
Yeah. I would agree with you. Plot was great. Some of the writing is not great.
Yeah. Yeah. The other... I took a few screenshots of a few different things that stuck out to me as I was reading. The other one that made me laugh was there's this Kingpin is meeting with like the board of directors of his company, and he's talking with them, and then there's like cutscenes of Matt Murdock who's like training and hitting the heavy boxing bag, and every time he hits it, it says FAP.
He says FAP twice. Yeah.
It's like FAP, FAP. That.
It'd be better if it said FAP WAP. But, yeah. I also got a tickle out of that.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Okay, so here's another one that was... This is similar to me. Like, I did have your same reaction to, you know, he's standing in front of his blown-up building. He's like, only Kingpin could have done this. It's like, oh, there's not like a whole universe full of villains. Okay, I guess.
Although I was pausing because I was like, wait, who are the Daredevil villains? And I was like, the Hand Ninjas, Kingpin, there's the Owl and Bullseye, and the rest I think are, oh, Stilt Man, can't forget Stilt Man. And then I think the rest are like Spider-Man villains.
Yeah. So here's another one that was kind of in the same vein for me. So this is a Kingpin is standing at his window looking out at the skyline of New York, and there's, I don't think it's even really like internal monologue, it's more like narration going on in boxes next to him. Mm-hmm. And so it says, he is the Kingpin, and Matthew Murdock has become the light of his days. As Daredevil, Murdock had cost him little, but hounded him, annoyed him as a fly would. Now, with all the joy of malicious child, the Kingpin tortures the fly. It began with the revelation of Daredevil's weak side, his secret identity. With a few brief phone calls, the Kingpin shattered Murdock's life beyond all hope of reconstruction. That would have been the end of it, were it not for the sweet discovery that Matthew Murdock is a man on the edge, that even before his ruin, he was nearly mad. And yeah, I read that, and I'm like, well, I guess maybe I should have read earlier comics or something, I don't know, but A, why is Matthew Murdock mad? And B, like, I don't really think that Kingpin knows the mental state of Matthew Murdock.
Well, they had the photos that showed, like, he's looking hard, he's looking worse and worse every day.
Right. No, this was, I mean, well.
Was that earlier?
He's saying that before Kingpin did all of his stuff to him, that Daredevil was on the brink of madness.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay. I don't know. I guess, maybe I'm putting too much, like, real-world stuff into it or whatever, but, like, it's pretty hard sometimes to tell when someone is struggling with a mental illness or, you know, et cetera.
That's true. I mean,
anyway, it's a comic.
He does wear a devil costume and go and beats up people.
That's true.
Maybe, I don't know. It's, yeah. Okay, so we can agree that the story is really fun and good, and yet the writing really, like, trips over its own shoelaces a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a granted. I guess here's the other thing that, and we can just, I guess, now talk about Kingpin himself. Like, I just don't understand why he's interesting. Like, really, he's a fat mafia boss. And okay, I guess. But, like, why do I care about, you know, fat Tony Soprano when there's Kang I could be reading about or, you know, whatever?
Yeah. Well, I think, for one, right, what I like with Kingpin is that they have rolled, like, every crime boss, for the most part, into one.
Mm-hmm.
And created this sort of, like, mega crime boss character. And the idea is not that he is interesting, but more, like, the challenges he presents to superheroes is challenging, sure. Right? Yeah. Like, Captain America cannot go and punch him and drag him to jail, right? Like, it won't work. And like... Hero, there have been comics where, you know, Spider-Man and Daredevil and stuff, like, they prove that he's done bad, and they present it, and they try to do all the right things, and he's like, nope, doesn't work. For some reason, the jury found me innocent. Like, it's consistently him actually winning. Like, right now, in the comics, Kingpin is the mayor of New York City.
Right.
And he is still operating his, like, crime things, and he is basically, like, and this comic is really cool because he's basically, ignoring supervillains while he attempts to prosecute Daredevil and Spider-Man and Heroes. Like, he's like, Heroes, these vigilantes need to be stopped. Right. Oh, but the, like, Electro, he's paid his debt to society. He's doing fine. Like, I think it's more that, like, yeah, he can't be beaten is his thing. He is
right, and I guess here that kind of leads into the other thing that was kind of strange to me at times, was that it's almost like he has this, until he suddenly doesn't, he has this almost like superpower of omnipotence, where he always has someone who is an informant or a thug or someone listening to you or someone who's going to hurt you or, you know, whatever. That is frankly like kind of too, like, it's not plausible in the real world.
Yeah, but at the same time, he can find someone like that thought that he can find someone somewhere. Like, there's that part where Daredevil thinks Foggy is working for Kingpin, and he can't shake it because he knows lots of other people are there. So
a good example, I guess, of what I'm talking about is the reporter Ben Urich. There's people following him all the time. There's people choking out cops while he's on the phone. There's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess it's kind of, I guess, like I said, it's almost like this, he can accomplish anything and has all powers until suddenly he doesn't.
Well, I mean, he's definitely presented in this, like, but I like that. I like that he can't be defeated. He is able to, like, bribe or threaten anyone. That's dope. That's really cool.
You know what's cool?
And I'll, like, point out
cosmic rays or time travel or...
Okay, but those are different types of stories for different types of heroes in different situations. I'm saying the Marvel Universe is so great because it can have a story like Kingpin while also having a story about a Vietnam steroid guy that Captain America needs to stop, while also having the giant head who is trying to poison your water supply, while also including the time travel story and the old... Kingpin is a necessary character in the ecosystem of Marvel Comics.
And I think that that's good for them to do a wide range of characters and settings, etc. I think that does help add a lot of, like, depth to the universe. But I think it's also okay for me to be like, you know what, Kingpin, or these stories just aren't as cool to me as some of the others.
That's fair.
Obviously.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, no, Jay, you have the
wrong
opinion about which comics are your favorites.
It's also cool to me that Kingpin, like, facilitates a lot of more unique villains, like Bullseye and, you know, like, he bankrolls supervillains so that they can do his bidding. That's cool, too.
Okay. I guess, what were some of your other favorite parts of this?
So I read this after I saw the Netflix shows, and I really liked how much of this comic arc was put into the Daredevil TV show. Have you seen it?
I've seen the first season.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot
and
of
I thought that the actor playing that Kingpin was quite good.
Is it Vincent D'Onofrio? Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Okay.
Vincent D'Onofrio. D'Onofrio.
D'Onofrio.
It's D-O-N-O-F-R-I-O with an apostrophe after the D. D'Onofrio. He's awesome. He's an amazing Kingpin. He's intimidating as shit. Like, and that's something you can't put in a comic is a super threatening tone when you're, like, drinking coffee, right? Like, that was cool. So like, the bad guy dressing as Daredevil to frame him is in the Netflix show. Daredevil being taken care of by Sister Maggie and the, like, revelation of who she is, that's in the show. There were a bunch of other moments too. I'm Kingpin trying to, like, take down Daredevil and, like, ruin his life is in the show as well, but I really liked the beats. It's obvious to me that when they were making the show, this was one of the story arcs that they used mm-hmm. to like mm-hmm. pick events from. And so for me, they resonated, and like I was like, oh, they did a really good job of using that in the show. It was really good.
So, what was your you tend to like lots of different art styles and art eras?
Yeah.
What was your opinion on the art in this arc?
So I actually have a lower opinion of it than I expected to. And part of the reason why is I thought Frank Miller did the art in this. And I don't think he did. He might have done some of the art. So, like, Frank Miller is an artist. And I was disappointed not to see more of his art style. So it was fine. It had a lot of those, like, really dark shadows that I like from that set the tone is like, this is a really down to earth story. This is serious and dark. And one thing I really liked is when they used color to like show stressful moments, right? There were some scenes that were like supposed to be really harrowing and they were in a single like tone. Like it was all red or orange. The one I'm really thinking of is when Yurik gets the phone call where the nurse murders the cop to, like, threaten him, and it's, like, showing Yurik's face, and he's really gaunt and terrified, and it's, like, changing colors to kind of show, like, he is not doing well. Is he breaking? Is he going crazy from this? Like, what is happening to Yurik to, like, hear a man strangled to death? And I thought that was really cool. That was a really nice touch. Yurik's face becomes really exaggerated. Like it looks like his face is being pulled up and down at the same time as it zooms in on his face. I thought that was really well done and very terrifying and impactful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would like it's not the worst art that we've read by any means, but and I wouldn't necessarily say that it detracted per se from the story. But I didn't necessarily really feel like it.
It was added just fine, enjoyment. Right? Yeah. Like it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's David Mazzucchelli did the art, and I wish Frank Miller had done the art because I really do enjoy Frank Miller's art. So. Mm.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts as we wrap this one up?
No, it's I enjoyed it a lot. I think it did a really cool job of doing something new. I mean, the tone was, I think the tone was problematic more than it was like good. I don't think they needed to keep repeating that like Karen Page does sex work now. Like yeah. we got it. We got what was happening.
Sure. Yeah.
Well,
and it also, we're really in kind of a different era now where, like, that type of story doesn't come off as edgy. It feels more like an exploitative story than edgy, I guess.
It did feel exploitative and not, like, it wasn't as shocking as I'm sure it was then to read it
right,
now.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, I did like that it kind of came around because it, the one part of it I did think was nice was that it's kind of a, Karen Page and Matt Murdock have hit their like lowest points respectively, and they kind of come together and finish this problem that Karen Page is, you know, she's responsible for starting this, but like they obviously care for each other a lot and they're there for each other and they finish it together, and I kind of enjoyed that. I thought that was nice, and it was nice to kind of have two characters paralleling each other that are at this awful point in their lives.
Yeah. So our next episode is going to be on Daredevil.
Yes. And I wanted to read something very different. So we're going to be reading... I'm sorry, I need to... So we're going to be reading a much more modern Daredevil. It's Daredevil from 2019, and it's issues 1 through 6. So, Daredevil from 2019, issues 1 through 6.
That'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I don't know. There's something really special about Daredevil and Kingpin and, like, that whole dynamic they have going and how different. I've said it before, but I think, like, Daredevil always attracts the very best, it always attracts the very best writers that Marvel gets at one point or another. So.
Awesome. All right. Well, stay tuned to next week and actually stay tuned to our bonus episode. Mm-hmm. Subscribe on Patreon and you can listen. And we're going to talk some about some of the teasers that have been coming out while we've been recording. And then we're also going to talk about Kingpin in-game.